Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Locations.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break with Sip and Jake, brought to you by Gaina Trucking. Live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC studios in the heart of Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
And Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
This is Early Break with Sip and Jake. Sponsored by Gaina Trucking.
Welcome back to Hour 2 on a Monday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Early Break. Fun show so far. You got the podcast at theticketfm.com. The show is sponsored, as always, by Gaina Trucking. You want to announce our special guest for tomorrow?
I think I don't want to lock it in officially, but we're trending hard toward getting Sam Cook tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
The 16-year NFL veteran just retired late last week.
Yes,
Sam Cook.
I'm trading text with Sam, and I think tomorrow at 7 is what we're angling for. How about that? Sorry I was a little hard on your band, Blink-182. I just think you can do better. I just like to hear you come with a little more oomph.
That was a pretty good oomph for a Monday.
A little more gritty rock.
A fast-moving song.
Yeah. It's not, you know, I recognize there's the popularity, and it went over well with most of our
texters. Yeah, it did. Right, right. Yeah.
By the way, thank you for everybody. I mean, it's amazing the engagement we have on a Monday morning in May. God bless you all. God bless you all. Vince and Bobby for calling. Vince was, in fact, in his garage when he was yelling bloody knuckles. He goes into his garage because he has a family.
At 4 in the morning on the West Coast.
4:45. Yeah, 4. You're right. He's up early.
A couple things before we move on with the hour to address.
Yes.
You, speaking of Song of the Day, have been very critical of anything in the early 2000s.
Yes, you're still going to throw
now, it. Yeah, exactly. Now, like Doc would chime in saying, Sip. Uh-huh. For someone that despises that era so much, you seem to like Seether quite a bit.
I do like him, and you're right. You're right. That's true. It's not that every...
Walk yourself out of this one.
I'm going to...
Go ahead and walk it out. Yeah, I see. I saw that little stumbling there trying to find your way out of this mess. I saw the pause. I saw the brain.
I'm not... It's not
nervous.
Hard. It's not hard to walk out of this mess.
Go ahead, try.
Yeah, I'm going to walk right out of it right now. Not every band is bad in 2000s, just like not every band is good in 1970s. Sometimes I turn the channel on the 70s dial.
But sad when you do that, aren't you? Yeah, God, I hate to deal with this, but I don't like this song.
Yeah. So, no, there's good bands in every era. It's just that some eras are much better than others. In early 2000s, there was a dearth of good music at that point.
But Seether made it through.
Seether made it through. There's some other bands that made it through, too.
Before we get into our topic, Joe in Boulder says, we did address this earlier, but I don't think he was listening at this point. He says, Jake, thoughts on the PGA Championship quickly?
Okay, quickly.
Justin Thomas is a very deserving winner. He, on Friday, was playing in the brutal part of the day. I mean, it got easier as the day went on Friday.
50s and blustery.
That was Saturday.
Oh.
Friday...
Okay.
Friday was horrible weather in the morning and much better in the afternoon. So the scores got lower, better, past noon or so. He played early morning and he shot a 67, 3-under par, in really, really tough conditions. Now, he faltered on Saturday, I think he shot 3 or 4 over on Saturday to put himself out of the mix, 7 shots down going into Sunday. But he battled back. He made like an 80-foot birdie putt on, I think, hole 11 or 12, which kind of sparked him. And then, you know, birdie 17, barely misses a birdie in 18, so he feels like he's going to be one shot short. But Mito Pereira, who led all day long.
Mito
was up by one going to hole 18, slices his tee shot into the water, the creek, ends up making a six, so he even misses out on the playoff. You know, a bogey would have gotten in the playoff with Zalatoris and Thomas, but he goes double, misses out completely.
Oh, Mito.
So in the PGA, it's a three-hole playoff. If they need more than that, they go play sudden death beyond that. Mm-hmm. But Justin Thomas shoots two under par in the playoff to beat Will Zalatoris, and he gets a second major. A deserving winner. Very, very tough golf course. 500 par was the winning score, which is low.
Yeah, it's tough.
In today's day and age.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a nice winner. I'm glad to see that somebody that is respected and well-known like Justin Thomas won, because the leaderboard for a while was looking like a bunch of, not to me, no names, but to a common viewer like you.
Mito?
Yeah, who's you'd be like, who's Mito Pereira? Who's Cameron Young? These guys?
No, I know Mito Pereira won twice in the Corn Ferry Tour.
That's it. That's like the minor leagues of golf.
Yeah, I think this was his first major.
He had played the majors before.
He played the majors. Yeah. He certainly never won a major.
No, he's never won a PGA tournament.
Right.
Corn Ferry is the level you've got to win it to get to the PGA Tour.
Question for you. They used to play this tournament, the PGA, in August, right?
Yes.
Why did they move it to May?
Well, because they got lost in the shuffle. I mean, August is football season, you know, and I think post the British Open, people just kind of lost interest in golf as they got ready for for football season.
Okay.
So I believe they did it because there's always been kind of a buffer for a major in May. Because they at one point had the Players' Championship in May, which now they moved to March.
Okay.
So you've got now from March to July, you've got March is the Players, April is the Masters, May is the PGA, June is the U.S. Open, and July is the British Open. So five straight months of important major tournaments.
Yeah, I think you're starting the U.S. Open on June 16th.
I think you're right.
16th. Okay. All right, let's talk Nebraska.
Yes, 402-464-5685, call or text as always. So every time we say next year, it almost becomes facetious now for Nebraska fans as they're trying to keep their vigor alive for the sports teams and hope that they start winning at any sort of level, not just a high level, but how about winning at any level for Nebraska sports. This year, of course, 3-9 football team. The basketball team was last in the Big Ten once again, and baseball misses the Big Ten tournament in their backyard in Omaha starting up this week. Didn't get the 8 seed. They were the 9 seed. Missed it by a spot. So I'm curious, coming off the worst year in Nebraska men's sports history collectively, what's an acceptable goal for those programs for next year?
Okay, I think we can.
We're not going to be crazy. Oh, we're going to make the dance.
No,
we're not going to make the dance.
No, you can do this. I think you can do this. You can have a very reasonable discussion. I'd say let's start with basketball, with men's basketball. What's reasonable? One thing I would be doing if I was Fred is I would be issuing some form of gentle reminders about Danny Nee's tenure. Danny Nee in year four, it was bad. It was bleak. Year four of Danny Nee, 10-18 and 3-11. But you know what happened in year five? You know what happened in 1991?
Okay.
You know what happened. 26-8 happened. And 9-5 in the Big 12 happened. And that started a streak of four straight NCAA tournament appearances. So patience. Fred might be saying, hey, be patient.
Say that to me or the team?
To everybody. Look what Danny Nee. Danny Nee, I mean, Danny Nee came in right away and went 21-12 and 7-7. Okay. Succeeded Mo Ibe. Mo Ibe did not left the program in pretty good shape. Mo Ibe went out in the NCAA tournament. He handed in his resignation after they lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Danny inherited a program that was in pretty solid ground. Then he started to build, because in year two went 13-18, year three went 17-16, year four went 10-18, but then he got it going. I would say to Fred, just do something like Barry Collier did in year four. I know, low bar.
So low.
Low bar.
Wow.
But Barry Collier in year four got it to 18-13 and 6-10. So that's what I've been saying about Fred. Just get him to 8-12. Okay? It's terribly low bar. But 8-12 means you have beaten some pretty good teams in your league.
Would you take 7-13?
There's a fine line. I mean, when you start sliding back. No, I'd say 8-12. There's a fine line there. You don't want to start playing that game. 8-12 is not unreasonable. Right?
No, I don't think so.
Just keep it at 8-12. Doesn't mean if he doesn't win 8 games in Big Ten, you're firing him. But, I mean, there should be – how about – what's wrong with 18-13? Like, in Fred's case, 19-14 or so, and then 8-12. What is that so crazy?
It shouldn't be unrealistic to win 8 games.
You know what's happening, though? You know what's happening, though? He's changing things.
He needs to change things.
Look what they're doing, though. Look what they're recruiting. That kid from SMU, Emmanuel, I can't say the last name.
Yeah.
Emmanuel's his first name.
Mm-hmm. Look at his last name. I forgot his last name.
I mean, he's a defensive-oriented player. He can shoot the three ball. He shot 63% of his shots from the three-point line. But he prides himself on defense. They brought that kid in, Juwan Gary, from Alabama, who prides himself on defense. Blaise Keita, I think, is probably in that sort of vein. I don't know. But I mean, Keita is not going to come in and score 20 a game. Fred's changed, and he hired a defensive coach, Adam Howard. He hired a defensive-oriented coach. He's changing the way he's doing things a little bit. Had to adapt to the Big Ten. I'm not saying he's got to come in right now and make the NIT even. It's sad to say, but it's sad to set the bar so low. But progress, meaningful progress, to me, would be 8-12 in a Big Ten.
Emmanuel Bandumel is his last name.
Okay.
Bandumel.
Yeah. So he's brought in some guys
SMU.
That are a little different. They have a little different profile than you would have expected from Fred. He hired a coach with a little different profile than you expect. He hired him because he's got a unique defensive system, Adam Howard.
Can we just one second realize that if people are in their cars scoffing or rolling their eyes about the idea of Nebraska going 8-12 in conference play, I mean, that's still bad.
It's not great, is it?
Like, oh, yeah, they're going to win 8 games. Why does that seem like it's unfathomable or impossible? I know that
if that's true, then
the bar has been lowered so far here.
Well, he's 9-50 in the Big Ten.
I mean, Tim Miles won double-digit games in 2 years. Two different seasons.
Tim Miles' year four, though, was not great. It was 16-18.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
6-12.
6-12, though.
Now, he'd been to the NCAA tournament 2 years prior.
Okay.
He went to the NCAA tournament his second year, if you remember.
I remember it vividly. I loved it. One of my favorite. Probably my favorite year ever following Nebraska basketball. Ever.
Tim Miles' second year was 2013-2014. That was your favorite year. They went 19-13, 11-7.
Yes. Then the four seed and lost to Ohio State.
Then Tim got himself in, you know, he started, his detractors grew the next three seasons as he was under 500, each of them. And then in 2017-2018, in what would have been his 6th year, they went 22-11-13-5, but got screwed out of making the NCAA tournament. Excuse my language.
They got screwed.
Yeah, excuse my language.
And they got, a 4 seed in the NIT?
It was a joke. It was a joke. Not, looking back, shaft.
They weren't even close to the dance.
Right. Shaft.
They got that low in the NIT.
Yeah. So his year 4 wasn't great. Doc's year 4, Doc Sadler's, was a disaster, 2-14 in the league. So you can't just say, I don't know. It's just a talking point that it's, I'm looking at year fours, but I think year four for Fred needs to be in that 8-12 is a minimum. Come on.
And I don't think that there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not. But again, the Danny Knee era is informative in that sometimes patience makes a lot of sense. Again, Danny Knee in year four was abysmal. 10-18 and 3-11. And then what happened? Boom, it turned. It turned on a dime.
I'm just curious what right now would indicate that they can do that, though.
Well, maybe he needs one more year. I don't know.
I know. We're trying to be optimistic here and say, what can they actually do this year? And I just don't.
I mean, is Fred going to sing the tune of, look, I was a little slow to adapt to the Big Ten. We had the pandemic that interrupted progress. Now I need a couple years to get this going. Is that what's going
to
happen?
And if so, do fans listen to that? Does Trev Alberts listen to that and say, okay, yeah, okay, whatever?
Fred's popular here. People like him. I mean,
I think that's waning a little bit. As it probably should be with what he did the first few years he's been here.
I mean, but I think his likability factor remains surprisingly high given his record, right? You still have members of the media basically being apologists for him, which is sort of repulsive in the context of rolling Bo Pelini and a 7.04 winning percentage out of here, and then taking up for Fred Hoiberg at 9-50 in the Big Ten, which is why media is generally repulsive.
Doc says this: Fred was supposed to be the most accomplished head coach to come to Nebraska, yet he has performed the worst. There is no more patience allowed when you're paying your head coach more than you've ever paid any other one.
Now he's getting rich here. He's getting rich. He's getting
to do nothing.
Will Bolt.
Yep, okay, Will Bolt.
Will Bolt. Very interesting. Very interesting situation there as you size it up. Will Bolt said after Saturday's game that all that juju, positive juju, Jake, mm-hmm. that Nebraska had last season, 2021, got turned upside down this year. Now, he wasn't making excuses. You create a lot of your juju, right? But all the things that fell right for them in 2021, all the positive juju got turned on its head this year. So last year you have a team that goes 34-14, wins the Big Ten, pushes Arkansas to the brink. Now this year it's sort of a collapse, 24-30, 10-14. Not a horrible, I mean, 10-14 is not...
It's a bad league.
You're right.
They won 2 out of 8 series.
So now how do you size up Will Bolt? He's bringing in 9 JUCO transfers now. 9 JUCO transfers. 9 JUCO transfers. 7 high school kids, 9 JUCO transfers. I think he must be sending a message, right? Sending a message to his team. I'm bringing in 9 JUCO guys to take spots here.
The goal for Nebraska is always going to be contend for the Big Ten title in baseball.
So next year, you're not just saying, just make the tournament.
No, I mean, that's a given.
Nah, you can't
that's
say
a given for a goal.
I hope people rolled their eyes when I
they
said
they should.
That. Right.
Like, you were one win away. So you would have got to the tournament if you were 25-29 this year, basically.
Yep.
Think about that. That's horrible.
Yep. That should be a given.
So that, yeah.
And
that
it didn't happen. And it didn't happen. So what do you got? You got Will Bolt. You had a pandemic year, played very few games, 9 JUCO transfers. you have the pandemic year where they played 15 games and went 7-8. I don't even know what to make of that 2020 year with Will. I look at Will as he's coached here 2 seasons. Okay, that's how I look
at
it.
Yeah, the pandemic year. Yeah,
7-8 in the pandemic year. Who cares? I don't even know what that means.
I forgot.
I don't even know what happened in 2020. I've X'd that out of my mind.
You should. Let it burn it.
So basically, with Will, you have this strange board where you're trying to read it. He had one incredibly good season.
Yes.
And one that fell way short of expectations. So now what? Now what? What I say is year 3 is a big one. Because now...
Yeah, did you catch lightning in the bottle year one, or was that, or is this just a dud of a season?
Will Bolt has never had a losing season in his coaching career. He's never been through a losing season. This is number one. How much did he learn? How much pressure does he feel? I don't know. How much should he feel?
This is, by the way, in a year that you brought in Rob Childress, who I thought was an excellent addition.
Well, I think he was.
I think he was, too. But, I mean, that's you were taking the, trying to take the next step up, mm-hmm. knowing that you lost big pieces of the team last year.
That's the thing. That's the thing. What's informative about this year to me is, you know what my default was as we discussed Nebraska baseball in the preseason? It was always, well, Will Bolt's the coach, so they'll be okay. Informative meaning I have to guard against that default mechanism. You have to look at the personnel. It's about the players more than the coach. If you there's sayings about it. A good coach, obviously, that good coaching acumen is diminished if you just don't have the roster. Obviously. A good coach can't go out there and do it. He's got to get the guys that helps him show his great coaching ability. And they apparently didn't have that this year.
Didn't work out.
It didn't work out, and it was incredible because the defense faltered at a high level, which I would never associate with a Will Bolt team. The offense was not aggressive. Not aggressive. That's what Will Bolt is. Dave Van Horn disciple. What do you think of Dave Van Horn? What do you think about? Pushing the envelope, aggression, tough, savvy. So what happened? How did he not get that out of these guys? Fred's supposed to be an offensive guru. Offenses have been terrible. His defenses have been terrible,
well,
too.
You got to hope that baseball, you know, comes back and says, you know, we're pissed.
Chip on his shoulder.
Big chip on the shoulder. Maybe less passionate. They read all the articles about it.
Yes.
Oh, this team's going to be good.
Yep.
They're just going to win or they're going to contend for the Big Ten title because they're in Nebraska, and they just did it last year. Did you come in with that chip on your shoulder or not? Didn't sound like they did.
All right, we got a call.
It's going to call from Mike. Mike, you're on early break. Go ahead, man.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm not sounding alarm on Will Bolt. I do think, like Steve said, next year's huge. But he's had a couple things that this year that really kind of bothered me. Earlier in the year when they're really struggling, he said, well, I can tell you we're a lot closer now than when I got here. And I thought that was a little swipe at Darren Erstadt. Mm-hmm. And then I look at last year, all those leaders, Schwalenbach, virtually all those guys were recruited by Erstadt and were here when he got here. I didn't much care for that. And then I know he doesn't make many excuses, but, you know, he said Sunday or Saturday, well, boy, we finally get things together and then we don't make it because of something out of our control. And I thought that was a horrible comment. This season was lost earlier in the year. You know, if we're going to pin it on, well, Purdue, you know, didn't want to play very badly, so we didn't make it. I just don't think that's a good thing for a coach to say. Control what you can control. Don't put it on a one game not being played cost me the tournament. No, that was all year long. And then one other thing, I don't know how much you guys watched in or whatever, but it seemed like all year there were some guys that, you know, at one point Bryce Matthews had 14 errors in 20-some games. And I know he's a player, and he did have a good tournament or a good series this weekend, but – boy, he just kept struggling. He was hitting at the Mendoza line. He's booting the balls around like a soccer player. Mm-hmm. And he never puts anyone else in. And I asked my buddy who played a lot, he says, obviously, you know, he feels there's no one better. But I said, don't you think, you know, sometimes it helps sit him down one game, calm him down, hey, watch the game, we'll get you back in, or just take a day off. And we just kept running the same guys out there who were booting the ball, not hitting, and didn't even try somebody else. You never know. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yes. Well, Will alluded to that second part. Thank you, Mike. Will alluded to that second part by saying one thing that you definitely need is depth. That you need depth in this. I mean, in college baseball, depth is critical. Now, here's what Will said. This is the quote that Mike alluded to. It's an empty feeling, Bolt said after the Saturday loss. The win, excuse me, after the Saturday win, 10-9 win. He said, because you feel like you finally got over the hump and did what you needed to do on championship Saturday, and something that's totally out of your control doesn't allow you to continue your season. He's not wrong, right? They did get over the hump and won. They won a league series, right?
They did.
They won their second league series in 8 tries.
That was their final series of the season.
In a sense, they did get over the hump that way. They finished a game. They won 10-9 and did what it needed to do. And then he's right. Something out of their control kept him out of Omaha. Now, we got to get back to football. We didn't even get to football.
I know. We do.
After the break.
We're way late. Yeah.
Yeah. After the break.
We'll hey, Gus. Caller 3 right now, 464-5685. You're going to win a 2-pack of tickets to the Adventure Golf Center. You got a third course opening up, I think, this week, but they got 2 other great ones right now. 56th and Old Cheney. Great way to spend some time with your family or just yourself out there.
What caller?
Caller 3 right now, 402-464-5685, winning 2 passes to Adventure Golf Center at 56th and Old Cheney. More next on Early Break on the Ticket.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.